Hey, what's up? You're listening to the Coffee Can't Fix Everything podcast. This is a show about mental health over a cup of coffee. Now, I know coffee's great, but it can't fix all life struggles. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and listen to these great conversations. Enjoy. Everybody, welcome to Coffee Can't Fix Everything. This is a conversation where we talk about mental health over a cup of coffee or tea, whatever your vibe is. today, I have with me someone I know, the homie. I'm so grateful that you're here. Marcella, thank you so much for sitting on the couch with me. How have you been? How are you doing? How's everything going?
Corey, first off, thank you for having me. I am so excited to be here. Perhaps a little nervous because when I reached out and I said, Corey, what's the topic? You said, I can't tell you the topic. those that know me know that I like to prepare and over prepare. So winging it is typically not my style. But I'm excited to be here and just have a conversation around whichever topic we decide.
Yes, yeah. Well, and a lot of people don't know that it's by design. That I don't tell anybody nothing until they get here.
It's true.
And the only reason why I told you yesterday, I'm like, I know her.
Yes.
And I know she wants to. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you a little bit of idea.
Appreciate that.
But, you know, Marcella, I wanted to talk about stress with you. And not because I feel like you're this stressful person.
It did got me thinking. I'm like, wait a minute.
Yes. But you're a mother, you're a business owner, you're a wife, you're in corporate America doing your thing, right? And like I said before we started recording, you have this energy around you that I feel like people come to you with their problems, and that can be stressful. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you've been a mentor to people in dealing with stressors. You're in human resources.
Some in stress when it comes to employee relations, maybe.
Yes. So I feel like you're the perfect person to talk about with this, about this certain situation. So one, I would just personally like to know, like, how do you deal with your stress? And because of your background, how do you deal with the stress of others?
Okay, all right. So we'll start with how do I manage stress,
yes,
right? And I will say, if you would have asked me this question 10 years ago, I would have said, I have no idea. I'm just working hard, and my back hurts here and there, and I have horrible migraines, but I have no idea why, right? I would say about 5 years ago, I started realizing and becoming more aware of my emotions and how certain things triggered me through journaling. I know it sounds crazy, but I think sometimes just taking the time at the end of the day to reflect on how am I feeling and why really helps me. How do I feel energy-wise really helps ground me. Then I also do yoga. And for me, yoga just helps me understand that life is a journey, right? There are ups and downs. And it's not about the destination. It's about enjoying every moment and figuring out what am I learning from this.
Right.
So, and I don't think I shared this with you. So my master's degree is in counseling psychology. I went to Drake. And I remember one of my professors always talking about, what narrative are you telling yourself, right? So what story do we tell ourselves? And one of the things that always has stayed with me is if we tell ourselves that, hey, I'm stressed, we're going to be walking around
stressed out.
Right? But if we tell ourselves a story of, hey, this happened and this is what I'm learning out of it, then we're utilizing our growth mindset because we're finding the positive aspect of when life happens.
Right. So it's just not to simplify it, but it's always just trying to stay as being positive all the time.
I think being a realist, right? Mm. So I would say bad things are going to happen, right?
Right.
The way I would describe it is there are things that we have control, no control or influence. So whenever life happens and I try to step back and say, all right, do I have control over this? Right? If I do, great, let me take care of it, right? So
right.
If my vehicle is having issues and it's stressing me out, let me take care of it and address it. Control, right?
Mm.
When it comes to people, there is some people that are going to create stress, right?
Right.
So then at that point, then I realized I have influence by having open and honest conversations and being authentic. I believe nowadays, especially in HR, it's really about giving people the space to talk and then try to come in at it from a perspective of, here's a why, here's a perspective, here's something to consider, right? And what I have found out, especially in employee relations, is when you take the time to listen to people, they may not agree with the outcome, but they understand.
Right. You took that time to at least listen to their perspective, which shows a sign of respect. And, you know what I mean? You know, what I've noticed about myself when it comes to stress, and I've always almost built my, I hate using this word, almost built my brand on being positive, is that when I do get stressed and I feel it, it makes me anxious.
Really?
Oh my gosh. Because I'll hear all the time, "Poor, you're always happy. Why are you always happy?" And I've always had a mindset of like, almost similar to what you said, like there are things I can't control.
Yeah.
There are things I can control. I'm just going to control what I can,
yes,
be grateful for what I have, and
yes,
keep it moving. Like, what I got to be mad about.
Yeah.
But like, life be life and sometimes,
yeah,
right?
I agree.
Yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, oh my gosh, I've been so positive where I haven't learned the tools how to react when positivity doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it makes me anxious. And then, like, I will at some point will be going to therapy. Like, I will. I just haven't done it yet.
Life coaching, I think, is what we call it nowadays, right?
I will be doing something because I know I need those tools. And I have some. You know, doing what I do have some tools help myself through that. But I think I say all that to say, I think there are a lot of people that know that they can feel it coming. Like, man, something's stressing them out, whether it's life, whether it's a life, personal life, or whether it's at work, whatever the case may be. And they see it coming, they just don't know. Their go-to reaction is anger or lashing out in some way. And that's, in a way, I kind of understand it, because it's like, if you don't know how to put it somewhere, what else are you going to do?
Yes. However, it's kind of, as you can tell from my accent, right? I was born in Mexico, and I recall when I was probably 11 years old, my dad would drive through the drive-thru at McDonald's and would try to place an order and would try to say Happy Meal. And they could never understand him.
Oh.
And what the other person would do is they would raise their voice, right? Thinking, if I just raise my voice,
oh my God,
then he's going to understand. But you know what would happen? Then my dad would raise his voice. And it was just, it was not a pleasant interaction for everyone involved, including me as a child, because
right.
So I, from my perspective, even though sometimes we just want to go and scream and raise our voice, typically what happens is we tend to mirror people's tone, and it never leads to a good outcome, right?
Right.
So I think one of the things that I have implemented this year is, so I took about a month off and traveled across the country.
Yeah, I saw the pictures.
I needed it. But one of the things that I did is I identified what my goals were for 2024, and I committed to myself to anything that did not help achieve those goals, I was going to say no to.
Ooh.
And it sounds easy to do, but Corey,
yo,
it's hard.
It's
so
hard.
I'll give you an example. I was about probably 3 weeks ago, I got a message through Instant Messenger. I rarely check Facebook, but this time, for whatever reason, I checked it, and it was an invite to be a part of Dancing with the Stars Des Moines.
Oh, I've...
Okay? And I thought, that sounds so much fun. That sounds cool. So I reached out right away. I'm like, okay, tell me more. And I wanted to say yes so bad, right? So I actually did say yes, to be completely honest. So I said yes. And then I thought about it and I said, okay, how is being a part of a show, learning a dance in the next 2 weeks going to help me with my goals for 2024? And I thought, right now it doesn't. It's just going to add more stress because I have, like you said.
Yeah.
So being able to say no and just being able to say, you know what, thank you for thinking of me. At this time, I cannot, but here are some other people to consider.
Right.
Felt really good.
Yo, that feels good. But I will say, though, at this stage in your career, though, Marcella, you can say no.
But let's talk about that, right?
Yes.
In this stage in my career, I will tell you, a good mentor about, gosh, 5-7 years ago, because before I used to have a hard time saying no. I mean,
yeah. I'd be saying yes to stuff knowing I should say no.
But I think that goes, you know, to be completely transparent, I feel that as a person of color, we have to be sometimes twice as good, work twice as hard, or at least that's my reality,
yeah,
right?
And maybe, mine too.
Maybe that's a me issue and I own it. But I felt that if I said no to something, how is this going to impact my professional career?
Mm.
But I had a mentor about 5 years ago said, you know, don't think about it as saying no. Think about it as a way to lift someone else up that you know.
Yo.
And give them the opportunity. And after that, I was like, you know what? I can do that. That I can do.
Right.
So now, whenever I'm not able to do something because it doesn't align, or I just don't have the time because it's going to take away from my goals, then I always recommend someone else and uplift someone else.
Yeah, and that feels good.
100%.
That feels really
yes.
good. And I like that a lot. I think I need to implement that more for myself personally. You know, even if it is something that I feel like I would want to do, or if I do have the mental capacity or the space or the time to do it, I think for me, even just prime example, I was asked to speak out to it was a speaking engagement. I'm like, oh, this is dope. Yes. And you know, and I'm like, it's one, it meets my 2024 goals.
Okay.
Right? It checked all the boxes.
Uh-oh.
And I was like, oh, the stress of it was like, oh, dude. And Marcella, I were talking to my people, right? I was talking to people that understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It was a topic that I could talk about fresh out of bed without even preparing. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, oh, what am I stressed about?
So let's dive into that, right? So what about, so if it wasn't learning the content, if it wasn't, so what was it about it that stressed you
know,
out?
I think, and this is some, this could be a whole nother podcast,
okay.
What I'm about to say, but it's the fear and the stress of success.
Yeah.
And like, so that, because there was no excuse not to do it. I ended up doing it, and it went fine.
Okay.
Right? But it was like...
fine. I'm sure it went great, but
Yeah, it was... okay. It was good. People enjoyed it. It wasn't as nerve-wracking as I was thought it was going to be. But it was like... it was also an opportunity where I could have been like, you know, maybe I can give it to this person that I know who knows the same topic, who can speak well. But... again, it met my goals, but it was the stress of what comes after.
Okay.
It sounds crazy.
No.
But there are, I know so many people that have a fear of winning.
Well, it's imposter. Have you heard of imposter syndrome?
Imposter syndrome. Absolutely.
It's a real thing.
It's a real thing. And then when, as you know, especially when last year, 40 under 40.
Ooh.
Yo.
Getting up there? Oh.
Yo. You're looked at in a different light. The stress of that. Like, it's like, okay, now how do I hold my... It's a whole different thing. You know what I mean? It's like, how do you, if you're not prepared to handle that, it can be, I've had some great things happen because of that.
That's awesome.
Some great things happen.
Yes.
Great things.
Yes.
But if I wasn't prepared for that, and still, you know, it was giving, I felt like I was prepared, like I was ready for it. I felt like I deserved it. It was great. But the stress of, oh my God, what's gonna, how do I respond to people? All these questions. How do you deal with the questioning of your success? Like,
ooh, that's deep.
Yup, yeah.
You know, I.
Or you need a couple days to prepare that
right,
question?
Right, I do. I need stats. And no, I would say it has. So prior to returning back to working locally, I worked for a company out in the East Coast. And one of the things that I recall on day one, I was in Charleston, South Carolina, and thinking, I made it. I finally am a director, and I have direct reports, and I'm building something. And I thought, what's next? And then part of me, I thought, Marcella, you have worked so hard to make it here,
yeah.
And now you're thinking about what's next. So it was at that point, probably martini or so later, that I realized that success is defined by the people around you. Success means, to me, is being able to show up as my authentic self and be comfortable in it, right? I believe that titles are great because they do help, and you know, money is great too, which definitely helps. But for me, at this point in my career, it's the entire package. It's about what's the purpose, who am I doing it with? You and I know that we're top performers, right? So we can do what we do anywhere, but it's really about the people in your team. I believe that when you work around individuals that are 9 and 10s, they're not threatened by you. They embrace you. And that, to me, is success. That's what I like. One of the reasons why I love Des Moines is because we have access to mentors, right? And to people that you can reach out and say, hey, would you meet with me? And they say yes.
They say yes. I'm so grateful for that. And it does make... It makes the journey a little bit easier. That's a good question for you, because you're getting to this moment in your life where you start to always a mentee, but you're starting to transition more to, I'm assuming, a mentor kind of role. How do you have like a way you talk to people about managing their stress or time or navigating stressful situations? Like, is there something that you do or say to people?
Well, I'm an HR, right? So coaching is kind of
it's right up your alley. Yeah.
I always like, whenever I'm coaching leaders, I talk about current state and their desired state, right? Because it's that transition that typically causes a lot of stress because we don't have a plan, right?
Right.
We know we want to be here, and we know we're here, but sometimes we don't take the time to figure this out. So typically what I do, I ask a lot of questions, right?
Right.
Because typically we learn by talking, not by me telling them what to do, right? I'm a firm believer as a coach, I need to influence and how people want to change, right?
Yeah.
So the only way I can do that is by understanding them, and the only way I can understand leaders is by asking questions.
Right. That is, but what are the, if there was somebody right here, okay, right now, they're like, Marcella, I want to do right. I want to do better. I want to be a better version of myself. 2024, let's go.
What does that mean right to you, Corey?
What are the questions you ask? Yes, what are those questions?
So what does that mean to you? What does that look like? What does that feel like?
What does that feel like? Yeah. What does that feel? It feels like money. No, I'm joking.
So, okay, so let's go into that. So what will you do with that money?
Right? I don't know. I'm just talking crazy. But
I mean, really, right? So then what does that mean? Right? So money, okay. What are you gonna do with the money? Is it get a nicer vehicle? Okay, why does that matter to you? Maybe it's because, you know, your car is falling apart. Yeah. I get it, right? Maybe it's because the sense of status. So again, every person is different.
Right.
So it's just about identifying and helping them figure it out. Okay, let's have you start acting like your future self, right? In order for you to get there.
No, that's acting like your future self. I really like that. You said something earlier, and I want to go back to it because it stood out to me. And correct me if I'm wrong how you said it, but there is there is three parts to control. Mm-hmm. And there is one about what you can influence. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. That really stood out to me. Can you talk a little bit about that more? Like when you say, okay, I can control A, I can't control B, but I can influence C.
So, for example, if you're at a table, be prepared when you can.
Yeah.
and ask thought-provoking questions, right? I think many times as someone who is privileged to be at tables where some people of color don't, yeah, I almost take it as a responsibility to speak up and say something, because if I don't, then who else, right?
Right.
So to me, is just asking the questions in a way that will create thought-provoking conversations, and it's through conversation and understanding that we can create change. Now, there's going to be times that even when you ask the questions, organizations are not ready, and that's okay. Then we go to no control, right?
Right. Yeah.
But then there are times where you can ask the questions and be prepared through data, right? Mm-hmm. And data, I mean, qualitative and quantitative, and tell them the why, right? And then after that, it's really out of our control.
Right. I feel like when it comes, just the overall conversation we're talking about, when we're talking about stress, I feel like a lot of the things you're saying, it comes down to time management.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if you're not prepared, or preparation, right?
Oh, yes.
I'm sure walking in today, not knowing what I was going to say, was stressful.
Oh, you're good. You couldn't see my whole stress, or inches, or nothing. Yes, what's your secret, Corey?
Just not be caring. No. This is my element. I love doing this. This is fun to me.
your authentic self, right?
Yes, yeah. Right. But I feel like there are times in my life, or even at work, where if I don't have things, I say this a lot, if it's not on my calendar, it doesn't exist. Right?
Yeah.
It took me a while to get there to like, oh, you want to do that next month at 2:00? I'll be there.
Oh.
Next month at 2:00 comes, and I'm like,
where are you? You mean we were supposed to meet? I know.
Yeah. And I think I'm trying, and I'm not all the way there yet, Marcella, if I'm being 100% honest.
Yeah, no, I think.
The more organized I am, the more prepared I am for the day, for the month, for the week, for the month, the less stressed I feel.
I can see that. And as you're saying that, you know, I think when you have an understanding of who you are and your values are, you're less likely to be stressed because you're staying true to who you are.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I will say that it gets easier as you get older. I mean, I wish I could tell myself, hey, it's going to be
Yo,
fine, Marcella.
I know.
It's going to be fine. Just keep doing you.
Just keep going.
But at that, you know, when you're in your, you know, 20s and you just, you want to go for it, right? And you want to say yes to everything. And, you know, as I reflect, I do wonder if my priorities were sometimes upside down. So, again, with age comes learning.
Yep.
And with learning comes continuous improvement. And
growth. So that leads to my last question for you, because I want to be mindful of your time.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, sure.
What would you, when it comes to, you've talked a lot about today about being your authentic self. And I think that is so important, but depending on what world you're coming from, whether it be the corporate world or whatever, it can be hard to be your authentic
100%.
Self in certain spaces.
Yes.
Right? How do you get to the point, how do you manage that stress of wanting to be your authentic self, but not necessarily understanding how some people are going to take it, but also maybe not even really caring how some people take it? What is that like for you?
What is that fine line?
Yeah, what's that fine line?
I would say for me, if I'm not my authentic self at work, then that's not a place where I'm going to be my best, right? And if I am not my best, then how can I perform at my best, right? So I am very mindful of being a part of teams that are comfortable with allowing people to be their authentic selves, right? And that means the whole accent and the whole thing, right?
Yep, all of it.
I think some organizations and cultures are not ready for that. So everyone has to make a decision and be self-aware of, am I willing to go into work and pretend and act like someone that I'm not? And if you are, great, maybe that's where you are right now. But I would tell you, for me, that is not where I am at today. I believe that when people find a space where they can be their authentic selves, they tend to be better performers. So that is, and I think that's why so many companies are working on culture, right?
Yeah.
And culture, at the end of the day, is made up by people, right? Organizations are made up by people.
Word. And that's why, I mean, just prime example, and I know a lot of professionals of color that were like me included. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna dress what I feel comfortable in. That's still professional. But I'm gonna wear my sneaks. I'm gonna wear my kicks, and I'm gonna look professional. And I'm still gonna do my job well. And I'm gonna come being myself. The day I threw my dress shoes away was the best. I was coming to work, Marcella, out the dress shoes on with the slacks with the tucked in shirt. I look crazy to me. And everybody was like,
you're like, who's that?
Yeah, they're like, you look so nice today. I'm like, yeah, thank you. I'm like, this is trash.
I don't feel like myself.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie to you, Marcella, I lied. I hope nobody from Broad Laws hears this or from my organization that I work. I lied and said, oh, my chiropractor said I could wear my sneakers because my back hurt. I hurt my back, so I gotta wear my.
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So I'm assuming there was no paperwork requested. No.
But I kept wearing them. No one said anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, well, let me just kind of put my own. Let me be me.
Yeah.
Let me be professional for myself. And then I was like, man, I feel good. And I can be myself. And I can still, and I'm still coaching. I'm still doing my thing. I'm still being professional. But I'm not a caricature of myself.
So I'm just going to add one more thing. So it's funny that you say that. So about a month ago, I gave in and bought some Air Force Ones. And I've been wearing them with slacks. And I'm like, whoever came up with this trend, I'm loving
it. Yo, it's dope.
But I think for our generation, it's a mindset, right? It's a change. It's like, wait, am I going to be looked at as, I'm not as professional because I'm wearing tennis shoes. So it's a process.
It is a process. But I think I do have privilege, but I am thankful of a mindset of, I've been doing this a long time. People know who I am. That, you know what I'm saying? I'm just not some Joe Schmo off the street, right? you know what I mean? So there is that. Like, okay, that's Corey. Yes. We get it.
Yeah.
But there is privilege in that. But still, I think that going back to your point, being able to be my authentic self wherever I go, whether it's at work, or at a board meeting, or wherever, I think that not only is better for me mentally, but I'm able to give to wherever I'm at in the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. Showing up as your authentic self is your best self.
Everybody wins.
I agree.
Everybody wins. Marcella, thank you so much for being here. See, this wasn't that bad, was it? Yes. Hey, so before I get going, for anybody that wants to connect with you, where can they find you?
LinkedIn is probably the easiest way.
Yes.
So my last name is quite lengthy.
I'll have it in the description of the episode, too.
Yes, but again, anything I can do to help, like you said, I do tend to, people are very comfortable talking to me, and I am happy to provide guidance and coaching in any way I can.
Yeah. Everybody, thank you for listening to Coffee Can't Fix Everything. Now, this is just a show where we talk about mental health. Mental health is important. I am not a therapist.
I am not either.
If you need help, get help, get support. I will have those links in the description as well. Coffee can't fix everything, but we can keep having the conversation to break that stigma.